Well, praise the Lord. Well, you're glad to be in the house of the Lord here tonight. Well, praise God. As I look around, I think I've met most of you, but for those of you that I haven't had a chance to introduce myself to, my name is Pastor Tim Stallman. I'm the senior pastor of our Jamestown and Erie churches, and of course, I've had the esteemed pleasure to be the pastor of Pastor Jeff and Pastor Renee for this summer. We'll mark 13 years. Pastor Michael has prayed me through. He has prayed me through. Of course, Pastor Jeff was on my staff, boy, many years ago now. And of course, this is a couple that has just shown their excellence, have proved their merits here in the body of Christ and with this local church. And so we're just so honored to be here tonight. Of course, on behalf of Pastor Jeff and Pastor Renee, the pastors of our Mayville church here, it's just so good to see you. And I just know you're here tonight because you have pastors that you love and that you care about. And so I'm just going to get things started out here tonight, and then we're going to get to the meat and potatoes, and Pastor Michael's going to share. I'm only going to take probably 70 or 80 minutes or so, just make it real short, about half of my normal length. And so we just want to, of course, congratulate this church, right? This church for 5 faithful years and of service, and of course congratulate Pastor Jeff and Pastor Renee on those years of proving themselves in full-time ministry. Glory to God, this work has become an established, you know, work of the gospel and is a light to this town and to this county. And of course, no doubt many of your lives will never be the same again because of the faithfulness of your pastors. You know, ordination is a sacred thing. It's not just something that's just casually received. It's not something, I know that you can go on the internet and, you know, all of us by the end of the night could be ordained. But within the family churches and under Pastor Michael and Pastor Nancy's leadership, ordination is no shallow thing because it's not shallow according to the Word of God. It's precious, it's holy, and it's sacred before the Lord. Of course, ordination is an approval from the elders that these ministers have proven themselves faithful in full-time ministry, right? Ordination is a badge and a public announcement that your pastors are trustworthy in holy things. Praise the Lord. And we're talking about the holiness of God's Word, the holiness of the manifestations of the Spirit, and of course, the holiness of your lives. It's sacred to God that pastors would care well for the sheep. And so real quickly tonight, I'm just going to get us started. I want to talk about three things, three abilities or three gifts that are in your pastor's life. I'm not going to take much time. I know many of you have your Bibles. Of course, you're welcome to follow along. I have the verses just copied right in my notes. I'm going to, of course, share them and then move along. But I just want to give you three things that your pastors do, all right, and that will help you understand the gifts in your pastor's lives. And with every one of these gifts, I want to give you a corresponding responsibility that you have. How many of you know what's happened here at Family Church Mayville isn't only the result of faithful pastors? Of course, we know it begins there, but how many of you know it's what you accomplish together as a church family, right? And so a pastor, apart from the ministry of helps, apart from a faithful congregation, isn't going to do much. And so three things that your pastors do and the corresponding responsibility that you have, all right? Because how many of you know this? If a pastor fails, your pastors are not going to fail. But I'm just speaking generally. If a pastor fails, it's not only the pastor's responsibility. A congregation has a part to play, to support, to pray for your man and woman of God, all right? Praise the Lord. Number one, all right, a pastor is first and foremost a feeder of the Word of God. A feeder of the Word of God. Your pastors are preparing each week the essential doctrine, all right? And I want to focus on that word, doctrine, because it's something that's starting to fail in the Church of America here in the 21st century in the sense that churches are becoming entertainment-minded. They're focusing on entertainment and seeker-sensitive things. We don't come to church to be entertained. We come first and foremost to get good, solid doctrine, all right? To be well-fed and well-nourished, all right? That doctrine that you receive in your local church will make or break your lives, right? A church will never be any stronger than the sum of what it teaches. Never forget that. A church will never be any stronger than the sum of what it teaches. You know, I have a saying in our church, if you don't sow it there, you can't grow it there. You remember Jesus said over there in Mark 4:14, he said, the sower sows the word, right? And so when your pastor is sowing the word of God on salvation, people can get saved here. When your pastors are sowing the word of healing, people can and do and will get healed here. When you're sowing the word on God's definition of prosperity, you can receive that here. But if you go to a church that doesn't sow those things, you cannot receive those things. So be very grateful that you have pastors that are sowing the word, all right? How many of you know, we know how faith comes, right? Romans 10:17 tells us that faith cometh by hearing and by hearing the word of God. And so if faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word, you could say that your faith is in their hands. Because they're preparing the word that you hear. Listen, even wrong words can build wrong faith. So think about how essential it is that you're getting the right words to build the right faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. You could say it this way, pastors are stewards of the faith of the people. If they don't bring the right word, then people won't have the right faith, right? So think about how essential it is that your pastors are preparing that feeding every single week. So now, church, the corresponding responsibility that you have as a church congregation is to pray for your pastors. And I'm just going to bring up, I'll read it, Ephesians 6:19. Paul is beseeching the Ephesian church to pray for him. And he says, and pray for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. If you aren't going to pray for your pastor, then there's going to be things that are going to remain a mystery to you. All right. And so when you pray for your pastor, revelation will come to you. That verse, it says that utterance may give it unto me. You should be praying for Pastor Jeff and Pastor Renee every single day of your life, that utterance would be given to them. Why? Because that utterance is what's going to feed you. Your life depends on utterance from your pastor. So to neglect praying for your pastor is to neglect your own prosperity, to neglect your own benefit, to neglect your own future, all right? And so praise the Lord. Pastors are feeders, but they need the support of the congregation praying that utterance would be given, all right? Second, are you ready? The second thing a pastor will do, a pastor is the steward of the presence of God. A pastor is the steward of the presence of God, and I'll explain what I mean by that. A pastor will set the table for the corporate anointing. You know, if he or she is casual about the things of God, that anointing will be diminished. All right. And so how many of you know you don't want casual pastors that just, you know, and I'm not just talking about the way we dress, though that certainly can be included, but casual about the things of God. You know, when they're at home, you know, the things of God are sacred in their home, sacred in the lives of their kids. Amen. Of course, I'm going to bring up a familiar verse, Matthew 18:20. Jesus said, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, all right, it says, there I am in the midst of them. Well, just remember this, the gathering together of God's people, a pastor is in charge of that gathering, all right? A pastor has the responsibility to provide a gathering place. This building is the gathering place of God, right? And so as you guys gather, you know, two or three and plenty more than that, you know, through the help of your pastor, the Lord's presence is in this place. Praise the Lord. And so your pastors are in charge of that gathering, and this building is that gathering place. Their spirit of excellence is constantly improving this building. Have you noticed that? And it shows you that the gathering is sacred to them, All right? They honor God by preparing a place for you to receive. All right. Have you noticed? I mean, this sanctuary is just excellent. I mean, you go out here in this, I mean, the front of the building, Pastor Jeff and Pastor Renee, they were traveling down to Tennessee just last week or the week before. And I was actually driving through here. I stopped and took a picture of the church and noticed the changes out front. It's just beautiful. All right. And then you come into this wonderful, welcoming, warm, pantry-like fellowship hall. And I'm expecting to see some like Dutch settlers sitting in there, you know, with the blunderbuss gun and the big gold buckle. And I'm thinking that it's like the first Thanksgiving in there because it's so welcoming and so warm and so excellent and clean. That spirit of excellence that's on your pastors is there to prepare, to show like it matters. You know, I've been in churches, I've walked in, and, you know, they're wondering why their churches don't have anything going or their churches aren't growing. And you walk in and there's rust on the heater grates. You go in the bathrooms and, you know, there's rust stains and dirt and you know, it's just a mess. Well, see, that's a lack of excellence. You know, oh, be grateful that your pastors keep an excellent building, all right? And of course, the corresponding action to that, right, is to help them keep it excellent. All right, minister with, or get into the ministry of helps and help them with excellence. If you're an usher, if you're a greeter, your role is very significant. You may be the first faces, the first impression that new folks see when they come into this church and you greet with a smile, right? Be excellent. Be on time for church. Be on time. I mean, my goodness, people will come into church and, you know, and they're 5 minutes late and they got to go to the bathroom. They got to get the kids ready. Listen, we know church here is at 10 a.m. every single Sunday, you know, and if we treated our jobs like that, you know, we'd lose it. Well, we should treat our local church with a greater measure than we teach or even our jobs, all right? Because I'll tell you what, all life depends on our connection to the Word in our local church. Amen? So be excellent yourselves. Be on time. Serve with dignity and cleanliness, all right? Keep your church clean and be as loyal to your pastors as they are to you. This relationship between pastor and congregation, it's one of loyalty. You know, they're loyal to you. You say, well, Pastor Jeff and Pastor Renee, they don't have coffee with me all the time. They don't have me over to their house all the time. No. It's not about, you know, the coffee time. It's not about them being buddy buddies. They're loyal to you every single week by having the Word prepared. They're loyal. They're praying for you. They're praying for their church. They're hearing from heaven about the next step for this church. Praise the Lord. And third and finally, pastors set the table for the gifts of the Spirit. Yeah. See, your pastors will teach you about the gifts of the Spirit. They will make you stable in the Word so you don't get flaky. All right? They'll balance the Spirit in your life with the teaching of the Word, all right? Your pastors will seek out other ministry offices and bring them before you so you can receive of those gifts, amen, and those anointings. Aren't you glad? And of course, 1 Corinthians 14:1, this is your corresponding responsibility now. Follow after love and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Your desire, you know, should be brought to church. Every service where your pastors are ministering, you should bring your desire to church. Now you say, well, Pastor, I thought you were, you know, going to be part of the ordination for Pastor Jeff and Pastor Renee. Where's all the charge and all that for them? That's coming up soon. All right. And Pastor Michael and myself, you know, we'll do that towards the end of the service. But I wanted to just take a couple of moments here tonight to remind the church of the gifts in your pastors, that you may recognize why they do what they do and that you realize that you have a corresponding responsibility in all that they do. Praise the Lord. Well, is everybody, are you appetized? Are you ready for the main event here tonight? Well, at this time, if we could have the founder of the Family Churches, Pastor Michael Leketic. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Me too. Praise the Lord. Wasn't that wonderful? Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Tim. And I say yes and amen to everything he said. And what a beautiful instruction to all of us. You know, those that are in the ministry, those that are in the ministry of helps, those that are part of this local congregation. And so I'm here to share a little bit, and this will be primarily directed to your pastors, but I want you to have ears that hear and know the spirit in which I communicate it, because this is a very solemn, a very serious thing. It's not something we do lightly. Like Pastor Tim said, you can go online in 30 minutes and, you know, $100, you have an ordination, but this is something sacred before God, and we treat it as such. And with that, if you have your Bibles, I would like for you to turn with me to Acts chapter 13. And just give us a little scriptural premise on ordination and what it means. Acts 13, starting with verse 1. Now there was in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. I always like to pause and comment. Notice the prophets and teachers and ministry gifts are in the church, not outside the church. If you ever meet a prophet out in a parking lot or a pastor that doesn't have a church, I mean, you know, they're a false pastor. A prophet that just prophesies in the parking lot, doesn't have a pulpit ministry, is a false prophet. It's in the church. Jesus builds his church. He doesn't build parking lot ministries, all right? There was in the churches of Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas, as Simeon, which is called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manan, and had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them." And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and sent them away. And verse 4, just the first part. And being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. And this is so important when it comes to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of organizations, a lot of churches that just try to do the work of God and do the best they can. And I believe they're very sincere. But whatever we do for Jesus, it must be authored by the head of the church. It must be organized by him, and we must be commissioned by him. Now, it's very interesting here. It's talking about Barnabas and Saul. They were faithful in the ministry. They were in the ministry of helps. They operated in the office of prophet and teacher, and for many, many years were faithful in that call. But there came a time when they were separated to the fullness of what God had for them. And there's many things we can learn here. With ministry, you cannot be commissioned by the Holy Ghost unless you've been, first of all, been faithful. Paul said that I was found faithful being put into ministry. And even though for many years he was first in ministry of helps, then he was a teacher and a prophet, he never entered into the highest call, the apostolic calling, until he was proven faithful. And there came a time that the Holy Ghost singled them out and said, "Now is the time for the fullness of the ministry that I have for you." And really, this is the premise of ordination, that when a man and woman are recognized by the elders of the church, but not only by the elder church, but recognized by the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost calls them out, and the Holy Ghost sends them out. That's what true ordination is being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, not just by individuals, but by the Holy Ghost. And I think every time I've ministered in this church, I always bring about a vision that I had, because I believe it's important to bring at Forth that your pastors are not here by just Pastor Tim had a good idea and I had a good idea and we had a bet amongst us. And who is a more unlikely candidate to be pastor? Let's see if God can really work miracles here. You know, of course, Pastor Tim was pastoring the Jamestown Church. And I remember we had a conversation that you were feeling a call, wanting to be trained for ministry. And Pastor Tim came to me and he let's just say he had some honest reservations. And after he shared them to me, I had some honest reservations myself. And, you know, we know that it takes time to develop. And, you know, I personally take great consolation in the Old Testament. God used a donkey. He certainly can use me. And but I don't know if it was that night or shortly thereafter, I was caught up in the Spirit. You know, and I had a vision. And in the vision, I was in the Jamestown Church. And we were all front, and there was a bunch of people. There's Pastor Tim, the leaders there, a bunch of people. And the word of the Lord came unto me. Now, what is the word of the Lord? A lot of people have their own definitions of what the word of the Lord is. Sometimes it's a thought, an impression. They think that's it. I take the scriptural premise of the word of the Lord, and also my spiritual father, Kenneth E. Hagin, what the word of the Lord is. The word of the Lord is the audible voice of the Holy Ghost. You know, and I know a lot of people, you know, have impressions, they think it's the word of the Lord, but according to the Bible, it is the audible voice of the word of the Lord. And really, we shouldn't use the word of the Lord unless it is the audible voice of the Holy Ghost. So I'm in this vision, and the word of the Lord comes unto me, and it's like someone speaking over my shoulder. And as I'm observing the Jamestown Church, I'm there in the Spirit. The word of the Lord came unto me saying, who will be the next pastor commissioned in the family churches, you know, sent forth in family church. And I'm looking at all these people, and I don't see anyone that qualifies. I don't know. And just like Peter, when he had that trance, it happened three times. The Lord told him, you know, talked to him three times. Three times the word of the Lord came unto me and saying, who will be the next pastor commissioned by, you know, family church or the next family church pastor? And I said, Lord, thou knowest. So the third time he said that, then all of a sudden, in this crowd of people, they parted in the vision, and there stood your pastors. And so I knew that they were ordained of the Holy Ghost to be pastors here. And of course, we can see it's evident. Wherever a true pastor is, churches grow and people grow. And no doubt the fruit of the pastor is upon them. But here, they've been faithful like, you know, Paul and Barnabas, and, you know, faithful to Pastor Tim, faithful in the ministry, and also serving here 5 years. But this is a time when we're going to lay hands on them and send them forth, and it is by the Holy Ghost. So know this, those of you that attend here, this is a true New Testament church. Jesus said, my people are scattered where there is no shepherd. Know that the Holy Ghost has placed these two pastors here. And so that is something that will break great confidence and great security being here. You're in a safe place. You're in a place commissioned by the Holy Ghost. And so that's what ordination is separating them unto the call, full eldership into the body of Christ. And so at this time, I'm going to have you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And here I'm going to give your pastors a charge. Now, these verses are very, very precious to me. I've spent countless hours poring over them and meditating over them. The reason is this is the very scriptures that when I was ordained by Dr. Dufresne, these were the very scriptures that were said over me. And I count them holy, sacred, and precious. And whenever we ordain anyone in the family churches, I like to use the same scriptures that have meant so much to me over the years. And it's very interesting in the setting. In 2 Timothy, if you've done a little study, this is the last letter that Paul wrote before he was executed.
And I'm, if you're ready to depart from the earth and you're writing to your loved ones, some, you know, your words are weighty. They're not careless. They're careful in what you want to convey in their meaning. And more or less what Paul is doing here to Timothy is he's passing the baton to the next generation. He is pouring his heart into this young man to carry on the work of God. And of course, these weren't just Paul's words. These words were the words of God, inspired of God. And these are the words, Pastors Jeff and Renee, I want to charge you with. And 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. The first thing I want to draw your attention to here is here Paul is charging Timothy. Like I said, he's ready to pass on to heaven, and he is to carry out the work of God. So it is a passing of the baton. But it wasn't just Paul charging him. Notice he charges Timothy by God. You know, this ordination is just not Pastor Tim and I, you know, acknowledging you and charging you. We are charging you before God. And that is so important that you take your duties and your office very, very seriously. And notice what it says here, that God will judge the living and dead at his appearing. You need to know that everything you say, that everything you do, and how you live, how you raise your family, how you carry yourself in community, you'll stand before Jesus and give an account of every single thing you've done. And so it is a solemn thing. That's why one should never rush into the ministry. James chapter 3 and verse 1 says that a minister will receive a stricter judgment. And that's why you need to pray for your pastor. Whether your pastor or succeed has much more to do with you than him, you know, be through the prayer support and the encouragement and the help. I know this, that Brother Hagin was praying about a pastor that didn't make it. He fell or wasn't successful in the area. And Jesus said to him, in the day of Christ, his congregation will answer to me because of the pastor's failure. And so that's why I'm so grateful for what Pastor Tim shared. And so it's twofold. You know, you have a part to play, but Pastors Jeff and Renee, this is a charge before God. Take it seriously. Now in verse 2, notice what the first charge is as he says, I'm charging you before God. This is as if you're standing before God and God is commissioning you. Notice what it says is preach the word. And that's why I'm so thrilled with Pastor Tim shared about doctrine. And so the foremost duty of a pastor in any ministry office is to preach the word, to give doctrine, sound doctrine that causes people to grow. And with this doctrine, I want to share this. You know, be pastors of depth. Have something to say when you stand behind this pulpit. And that depth doesn't come by desire. A lot of people desire a lot of things. A lot of people desire a lot of wisdom, revelation when they speak. They desire the gifts of the Holy Ghost, and we desire those things. But depth only comes by discipline. The Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Peter said this, as such as I have, give I thee. And, if you really want your ministry to even flourish more, give yourself more to the word. Meditate. Paul told Timothy, meditate upon these things. Know the word like better than anything else. You know, a lot of people know sports teams, they know cars, but they don't know where chapters and verses are found. We ought to be so enamored with the word. We ought to be like a sponge that's soaked up with liquid that, you know, you touch that sponge, what comes out? What's put into it? And that's our lives in the word. And, you know, there's too many pastors today are shallow. You know, they have anointing. There's a grace of God upon them because God gives them that grace. And that's God's part. But your part is to fill and to feast and to meditate and be so consumed that your thoughts think the word. Your actions think the word. Your voice speaks the word. And it's that word that will change people's lives. I like Jesus said, for their case, or for them, I sanctify myself. He sanctified, he set himself apart unto the word, unto the Lord, until he became such a vessel of glory that wherever he went, miracles happened. Wherever he went, the truth set people free. And so be pastors of depth. Give yourself more than word than anything. Get up in the word. You know, God told Joshua, the key to success is this book of law shall not, what? Depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate, what? Day and night. Day and night in the word, in the word, in the word. You know, we live in a society, I'm going to borrow your phone, Mark. And we've seen a lot of young people like this. You know, they're like this, and they're walking the sidewalk, almost knocking the thing. This has their attention. They're focused on this. And I was ironing. And a lot of times God just speaks to me when I'm in the bathroom or just in a place where I don't use my mind. I remember I was just ironing my clothes. And I had not a outward vision, but a mini vision on the inside. And I saw, you know, teenagers, people doing that. And the word of the Lord came to me and said, do that with my word. Be consumed with my word. Be a believer. The Bible says, give attention to my word like nothing else. Shame on you if you're more on social media and you watch TV more than the Word and you're a preacher of God. Shame on you if you read anything more than the Word of God. There's the pastor. This is the prophet. Smile. Charge you before, preach the Word. Be in season out. Be always ready. I mean, if you got it, you know, get a call, you know, Tuesday morning, you ought to be ready, filled with the word. You should never have to say, I need 3 days to prepare. Yeah. Shame on you. Yeah. You always ought to live prepared. Filled with the word. Be ready at all times. Okay, but I can go on preach. Notice this, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Notice verse 3, for the time will come. I think we can change that and not violate the scripture. We could say the time has come that they will not endure sound doctrine. And again, Pastor Tim so masterfully and skillfully addressed that. We live in an age that it's entertainment. That, you know, it's you go to church for the show. You don't come to church for show. You come for the Word of God. You come to be convicted by the Spirit of God to improve your lives. And notice it says this, that 2/3 of the gospel is corrective in nature. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. We got a whole lot of exhorting today. And we need exhortation. We don't want reproving, rebuking by itself. It needs to be balanced. But 2/3 of the gospel is corrective in nature. Why is that? Well, if you ever raise kids, I mean, you know, you always got to correct kids. Why? To make them ladies and gentlemen. You're constantly correcting them. God, whom God loves, he corrects. And if you don't have a pastor that corrects you through the word, it's a pastor that don't love you. And so 2/3 of the gospel is corrective. And here he says a time's coming where it's all fluff. It's all feel good. It's all about you type of thing. But a good pastor will preach the word, will preach with conviction. And, you know, you ought to be afraid being sin, being church. You ought to be convicted. If you're living in sin, you ought not to be comfortable in church where the Spirit of God is. Why does God hate you? No, he wants to help you. And it's only by the conviction of the Holy Spirit that he can convict you and help you and get you out of that mess. And so there is many, many teachers out there. And so pastors, don't cave in. You stick to the word. You stick to sound doctrine. If every other church in Mayville fills up because they're giving away TVs, you stick with the word. And says this in verse 4, they shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned into fables. Now verse 5, it says this, but watch thou in all things. You know what watch means? Well, Jesus said to disciples, can't you watch and pray? as preachers, as pastors, number one, the first thing, you ought to be so filled with the Word of God. Filled with the Word of Christ. With the Word of Christ dwelling you richly. But it's just not the Word alone. We are Word and Spirit. And it's in that order. If you're Spirit and Word, you're going to be flaky. You're going to get off. It's always the Word first. And so watching with waiting on God, praying. And it's so important that we just not preach things that we like or things that you think the congregation needs. But I love something that Charles Finney said. He said, I got all of my sermons on my knees. Yeah. How many preachers do that anymore? He would pray until he heard something from heaven. And of course, if you studied his ministry, wherever he went, I mean, it was evident, the whole cities came to the Lord. Why? He got something from heaven. And you don't get something from heaven just because you desire it. Again, it's your discipline. Waiting on God and saying, Lord, what do you want? Not my will, but thy will. What do these people need? Shame on you if you're a Saturday night preparer. Well, you know, you've been carnal all week, and just Saturday night you do a desperate Hail Mary prayer. Lord, what does the people need? Give me something. Dear God, you're ashamed to the office here. Again, pastor, prophet. Why? One day you'll stand before God. And we ought not to treat these things lightly. Every day, Monday morning, you ought to be preparing. Just preparing your vessel. Be in season now. Always, you ought to be preaching out of a reservoir that you have. You ought not to ever be studying for a sermon. You ought to be the sermon. It ought to be so filled within you that when it comes for the message, man, that's out of the reservoir what I have. Not trying just to study and be in the Word, praying for sermons. You ought to be like Smith Wigglesworth, so full with the Word, so filled with the Spirit that it resonates. It just comes out of you. Watch thou. All thanks. We're going to have Pastor Tim to kind of buffer this. Endure afflictions. Now notice this, and I'm fixing the clothes if that means anything. He says, do the work of evangelist. Here, Timothy's a pastor. He's not called to the office of evangelist. But that did not excuse him from evangelistic work. Notice this. And I want to herald this so loud. It didn't say do the work of a prophet. That's why I tell my pastors, don't you pastor like I do. You're not in the office I have. I have a different assignment. But he says, do the work of evangelist. You know, we love the move of the Holy Ghost. We welcome the end time move of God. But if you're not winning souls, you just got a bless me club that like to have little church parties. I've been to many churches. They have 20 people for 20 years, and they have some type of move of the Holy Ghost, and they go, man, we had a real move of God. Why, their community is dying and going to hell. Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost. If you're not bringing people into Christ, if a church is not getting people born again, it's just a bless them club. Yes. Yeah. Jesus is very interested in law. The gifts of the Spirit are to help bring in the lost, not just to bless us. So do the work of evangelists. Be crying out to God for your community. God, how can I win more people? How can I bring them in? How can I bring people closer to you? Okay. Then he said this, make full proof of your ministry. That means complete it, fulfill it. Thank God for Brother Hagin and Dr. Dufresne. Without them, we wouldn't know that there are phases in ministry. We wouldn't know. And you'll be judged by whether you're faithful or not faithful to the phases. So if we're going to be judged by them, we ought to know what they are. And, you know, studying the Word, and we've seen a few verses here that Paul said, I finished my course. So he knew what his call was. He knew what Jesus was. He knew when he was completed. Jesus said this in John 17:4, I finished the work that you gave me to do. Well, I don't know. You know, you can be called a pastor, but you may not be doing the exact work that he wants you to do. How do you find out? Waiting on God. You wait on God. God, what do you want me to do? What don't you want me to do? Be continually waiting on God because you want to complete the phases of ministry. You know, what good is it if you even if you have a big church and you do a bunch of things and you stand before Jesus and say, but that's not what I want you to do. That's not the emphasis I had for you. It made you popular, but it's not my plan for you. And so you fulfill your course. And so we want to be like Paul said this in verse 7, the following verse about verse 6. I am not ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. And I love this. I fought a good fight. You know, I've taken martial arts for 10 years, so don't mess with me. But, you know, I like boxing. I don't watch much of it. But let's put it this way, maybe a good football game. I mean, there's big plays going on. Big, you know, there's nothing worse than a football game that's two field goals for each team. You know, it's a boring game, you turn it off. But when there's big plays, big tackles, you know, everyone in the grandstand is on the edge, you know, under their feet and cheering and rooting. Man, this is a great game. Let your life be that game. Let your ministry be that game. The Bible says there's a great cloud of witnesses watching, and you're putting on a show for them. What does your show look like? Well, I just, you know, just do like everybody else. No, put on a show that heaven stands up and applauds. Heaven is involved, and angels looked into. I want to be involved with these pastors. Look what they're doing. Look at the strides they're making. Look at the time they take in dedication, consecration, and prayer. Look at the outreaches they're doing. Put on a good fight. I finished my course. Finish your course. And I've kept the faith. I've always wondered why Paul said that. You know, you look at it and say, well, Paul, were you tempted to backslide? I held on to the end. No, that's not what it means. That means not only did he run his race and run it well, he had the baton of the truth of God, and he passed it on to the next generation. See, your life in ministry is not just about you running it and running well. It's what you're passing on to the next generation. Because you're given a baton. Too many pastors, they build the church, then when they're off the scene, the church dwindles because they never pass the baton to the next generation. God deals in generations. Yeah.